Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 15th of July, and I'm recording at 9:38 p.m., and that's British summer time. Now, steady performance, really, in Asian stock markets. They've been the best, certainly among the best, recently. Japan, China, all a bit higher in here. Actually, it's easier to pick up the exceptions. Among those, Australia had a tiny, negligible decline, which is unchanged. Thailand, again, down just a fraction. Equally New Zealand. The others were higher. Among the good gains, so we had Indonesia. Up nearly 1% as the election impasse appears to be in the process of being resolved, with Widodo the clear victor, and there's a lot of excitement about him, and people are hoping that he will be for Indonesia what Narendra Modi is for India. Well, that's a bit of a stretch, but I think it is an improvement in governance, and governance is often everything, as we like to say at this service. Now, India, which had been testing that 25,000 level on the BSE Sensex index, closed up nearly 0.9% here today, and excuse me, that was partly due to improved rains, which have enabled planting to continue in more regions of India. Now, that's awfully important because India is so heavily dependent on its monsoon rains, and they got off to a very late start last month and earlier this month, but the rains do appear to be coming through, although there are some longer term projections, always risky in the weather business, but projections that an El Nino condition may push more wet weather into South America rather than bringing it across to India over the next few years. But what we do know is that the practical reality for India right now is, although the monsoon late start is a disappointment, nevertheless, it's not the disaster, or it's not as serious as it actually could have been, and I think that helped the Sensex index in here today. My own view overall is that it wouldn't be surprising if it spent a bit further time just consolidating those terrific gains. For the Sensex this year, for instance, it's up 22.61%. Only Indonesia is just above that, and again, so it wouldn't be surprising to see a bit further consolidation. But I think this will remain one of the top investment speculations, and maybe not that speculative, despite its emerging market status. Remember, India went from governmental chaos to a majority government run by a very economically savvy individual with a proven track record in Narendra Modi, and they've also got an awfully experienced central banker there as well. So other countries should be so lucky. Japan, steady here overall, and that's another one of my favorites here for the lengthy medium term, at least. Japan remains a recovery candidate. Indonesia coming back into form. I like the political change there. And again, the Asian region generally is doing quite well. Taiwan remains firm. Now, what else though? Because the good news or much of the good news stops there. Europe is soft in here overall, and that's been the case in the last few weeks. And I think it's the enormity of Europe's problems, and which are going to linger really for quite some time. And the while the European Central Bank has really helped enormously, the questions concerning GDP growth, where is the GDP growth going to come from, are still real and a worry. And that you have a disinflationary, possibly even to become deflationary situation here in Europe. So these markets are lagging, continuing to lag, and we had some significant weakness in here today, led by the Italian market down 1.33%, Spain down nearly 1.25%, France down over 1%, Euro stocks 50 down just over 1%, European banks just taking out some minor support, moving back below the 200-day moving average. That's obviously influenced by the concerns within Portugal's banking system. That's a problem that's not going to go away easily or quickly, I suggest. And UK also lost half a percentage point in here today after a steady start generally. In the Americas, Brazil, again, tacked on another gain here, 0.41%, which is pretty good here. Resources markets are still generally, well, quietly steady, I should say. I don't want to exaggerate it. Wall Street, well, there's nervousness, plenty of it around. People expressing concerns, but Janet Yellen did not alarm the markets, and no surprise there. She was a steady hand there, giving her testimony. And the Dow, well, it nudged a fraction higher, as did the NASDAQ 100 index. Well, I'll put this: the Dow touched another new high in here today, for closing at 17,060. The NASDAQ 100 also briefly touched a new high here today. The U.S. transports also pushed higher. They're all a little overbought, and the Russell 2000 seconds, that index of smaller corporations, is lagging, and that's the Achilles heel. If we see trouble, that's where we're likely to see it in some of the smaller companies, more likely than the larger companies. But again, sentiment is not as robust as the U.S. stock market indices remain here right now. I'm cautious about it because it would not be difficult to imagine Wall Street going into a 10% plus correction here during this quarter. But I wouldn't have been surprised to see that in the last quarter either, and it didn't happen. And the main reason why that is not happening is that we have a situation where the Fed is still extremely accommodative, although it is continuing with the winding down of QE, which will probably end around October. And they are talking about rates perhaps being slightly higher next year, but not a whole lot higher. So again, Fed's going to move very cautiously here, and one of the reasons for that is because inflation, at least in terms of the Fed statistics, is not high, and also the employment picture is really well. It has been improving for the last what is it, 5 or 6 months, but nevertheless, it's nowhere near as strong as it has been in other recoveries. Well, that's partly due to the credit crisis recession, as I've often mentioned, but it is also more significantly due to the advance of technology, which is replacing jobs faster than new job opportunities are actually opening up. If U.S. tax rates weren't so high, I'm convinced that you would see a better jobs market still in the USA. But companies are reluctant to spend because tax rates are in the U.S. are corporate tax rates are high on a worldwide relative basis. So what else now in the commodity markets? It's well, let me go on to currencies here first, because I don't think there's anything really significant except sterling generally steady at against the US dollar at 1.7143. The euro has weakened a bit further. It's 1.3569 against the US dollar. So sterling, well, I'll put it this way. We know that British export industries are concerned about the strength of sterling right now, so I don't think it'll go a whole lot higher against the greenback. But for sure, Europe really could not stand currency appreciation, and we are likely to see some additional downward potential there by the euro. Now, let me move on to those. So, government bonds, again, quiet day, but US 10-year, just nearly 2.55%. So, no problems there. They're still really quite low. And moving on to commodities, there are two elements of good news in here. And one is that weather conditions have remained favorable here for the U.S. crop cycle and also the European crop cycle. And so we've got soybeans, corn, wheat, rough rice. These prices have come down a lot in the last in the last few months, very, very sharply. Worth having a look at that in the charts if you if you haven't. So what does that mean? Well, that means that we're unlikely to have some of the food cost increases that were a real possibility given the drought conditions that California has seen. And indeed, that certainly damaged, for instance, damaged the almond crops. Well, it damaged pretty well all of California's agricultural products, but on a global basis, we see downward pressure here on these food prices. And then there's been an even bigger factor. It wasn't all that long ago that when ISIS was first bursting into Iraq and terrorizing people, well, they're still terrorizing a number of people, but we have not seen a reduction in oil production, so that situation has really stabilized. And while I was concerned when crude oil was up around that 150, Brent crude was up around that $115 to $116 level, because had it spiked higher from there, it was a situation I described that shouldn't really be happening on overall fundamental on an overall fundamental basis, but it was had become a risk because of the instability that was clearly evident in the Middle East. Well, that instability is there, but as I said a moment ago, it has not led to additional reductions in production. And oil, I mean, my goodness, let me just bring up the chart here. The price schedule and look at this. I mean, Brent crude is currently just below 106, 105.94. Got down briefly today to 104.39. The sell-off looks climactic, but the important thing is that the game changer that I feared had become a possibility when oil was quite strong. Fortunately, we did not get that spike, and prices have come right back down very quickly. They're probably oversold. Well, they're definitely oversold down here at these levels, and we may see a bit of a short covering and maybe some opportunistic buying in the not too distant future here. Equally, those grains and beans are very depressed and possibly due for a bit of a short covering rally over the over the next few months, despite the good crop situation. Precious metals, well, they've come down in the last couple of days even faster than they went up. I think oil might have been an influence in there overall, but you know they're still nervous and in these ranging patterns overall, and a fair number of stops have been triggered. As I speak, we've got silver, which had been up at 21.13 this morning, but it's currently trading at 20.74. So that's down 17 cents, and it's been a little lower overall. They're all down today. Not much on palladium. It's at 868.55. It's down $3.50 as I speak. And gold, which had started, it was steady early on today, got up as high as 1,313.83. But remember that 1313 figure, nearly 1314, but is currently at 1294 and a little bit of change. So that's down almost $13 against yesterday's, after yesterday's big, very big downward dynamic, which certainly has capped the upside for gold and also silver. Those highs that we saw on Monday, those look like tops of well, they are tops of at least near-term significance is the best way to put it overall. And so this ranging activity is going to continue for a little further. They've underwound, they're rapidly unwinding the overbought condition that we had seen previously, but well, it's I'm repeating myself, but say this nervous market environment in here, but when we see some evidence that this sell-off is both becoming oversold and losing downside momentum, then maybe some small longs would be worth chancing. Here, I still think on the medium term, this is going to range sideways to somewhat higher for platinum, palladium, silver, and also gold. Industrial metals, a little bit easier in here today as well. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.